Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, this is God's word. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, we've talked about the first question that I dreaded when I was a kid. Who do you think you are? We've talked about the second question that I really didn't want to hear when I was headed out to go somewhere, and my father said, "Where do you think you're going?" Today, I want to tell you the third question that I really didn't like, but it was a good question. The question was, "What do you think you're doing?" The tone of voice sometimes varied. Sometimes instead of, you know, "What do you think you're doing?" it was like, "What do you think you're doing?" That was worse. But in any case, when I was asked that question, it meant one of two things. Either I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing, or I was doing something that it was okay to do, but I wasn't doing it correctly. Maybe wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Have you ever done something without really thinking about what you're doing? Yeah. Sometimes when I am driving somewhere and have the blessing of my wife being in the passenger seat, she'll say, "Why did you turn right?" And I realize, oh, because I'm used to going like this, but we're going there, aren't we? And so I have to turn around and go the other way. That's called repentance. But you see, the reason I turned right is because I was thinking about something else. I was driving. I was supposed to be driving. I was keeping it in the road. You're supposed to keep it in the road. But I made a wrong turn because I wasn't thinking about where I'm going. And folks, if you're not living based on where we're going, then you're not going to live the way you're supposed to. You see, our salvation is not based on whether or not we do the right things. Our salvation is based on what Jesus did. But our salvation is shown by our doing the right things. It says very clearly in this passage that we've been saved by grace. It is by grace you've been saved, not on the basis of what we do. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So it has nothing to do with works? No. Here's what it has to do with works. Saving faith works. If you are trusting Jesus, and you know that he has redeemed you, so that instead of going to hell, you're on your way to heaven, it's going to change the way you live. You're not going to just do what the other folks do because that's what everybody's doing. The question in your mind is going to be, what would God have me do? What pleases him? What does he want? The reason that a Christian does what we do is because we love him. And the reason we love him is because he first loved us. We're not behaving well in order to get God to love us. God loves us. He loves us so much that he took the punishment we deserve. Now, in light of what he has done, what do we want to do? Well, we want to do whatever he wants us to do. Years ago, I was pastoring a church in Atlanta. It was a nice big church. It was growing. They took good care of their pastor. I got a new car every 2 years. I had a cell phone back when not everybody had a cell phone. And I was just really blessed and really full of myself at times. So I'm driving to work, and I see a guy who's hitchhiking in the other direction. And I don't pick up hitchhikers. But the Lord said for me to pick him up, and I thought, that's not God. I'm going to keep going the way I'm going. And the Holy Spirit said, pick him up. I thought, I'm not even going his way. He's going that way. I'm going this way. The Lord said, pick him up. I thought, man, I'm not sure this is God, but I'd rather do what I think God is telling me to do than not do what I think God is telling me to do. Does that make sense? So I turned the car around. I picked the guy up. And I thought as I'm turning around that if he's there and I have to pick him up, it must be that I'm going to get to lead him to Christ. Well, he was already a Christian. As soon as he got in the car, he was praising the Lord. So I thought, okay, I guess I don't get to lead him to Christ. Maybe he's got some other issues like, you know, his child is sick and I can hook him up with a good doctor, or his marriage is in trouble and I can give him good counsel. I mean, there's got to be something here. You know what it was? He was happily married, his kids were healthy, but he needed a ride to work. And I took him to work, and I dropped him off, and as I'm driving away, I said to the Lord, so what was that about? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, he needed a ride to work. And you work for me. And if all I want you to do all day today is drive around like a taxi driver giving my children what they need, you do what I say. And I started crying as I drove and realized I'm nothing except what God makes me. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. You and I are highly specialized dirt. And we have been given life by the creator of the universe. And he has a plan and a purpose for our life. The Bible says he knit us together inside our mother's womb. God saw and was involved when you were being made. You didn't choose your eye color. God did. You didn't choose whether you'd have curly hair or straight hair. God did. You don't know the future, but God does. And he loves you, and he has a plan for you. There was a lady named Amy Carmichael who grew up in Ireland, and she had brown eyes. Now, I have brown eyes. I like brown eyes. But Amy knew that in Ireland, where she lived, the pretty girls had blue eyes, and hers were brown. So she prayed as a child that God would change her eyes to blue, because she read in the Bible that you can pray and ask God, and he'll give you what you pray for. Well, that doesn't mean he'll give you things that aren't best for you. But she didn't understand. She was a child, and she prayed earnestly, pleading with God to please give her blue eyes. She got up the next morning and looked in the mirror, and they were still brown. She was so disappointed. But it turns out God had a call on her life. She was going to work in India. She didn't know it when she was a little girl in Ireland, but she ended up in India rescuing little girls from temple prostitution. And she was able to sneak into those temples and rescue those children because she could pass as an Indian. And the reason she could pass as an Indian in India is because she had brown eyes. You understand? God had a plan for her. He had a plan for her eyes. He has a plan for you. He made you for a reason. You may not like the way He made you, but God knows best, and He loves you more than you love you. He loves you so much that He took the punishment you deserve.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, if you know who you are in Christ, you're God's child. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're an ambassador for Christ in this world. If you know who you are in Christ, then you know where you're going. You're going to heaven. You're going to be with Him one day. In light of that, everything we do in this life has a different kind of importance. Everything we do in this life is to be done for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, whatever you do, whether eating or drinking, whatever it is, you're to do it all for God's glory. How can I eat for the glory of God? You eat that which is good for you. Do you know how much I love vegetables? Because I don't. I will say that my wife made some delicious zucchini yesterday. It was wonderful. But I'm now in my 60s, and it's taken me a long time to learn to enjoy the things that are healthy. When I was a kid, my idea of a wonderful breakfast was a piece of Raisin Toast coated with butter, coated with jelly, then sugar and cinnamon sprinkled on top. It was just diabetes on a plate, okay? But I mean, to me, that was so good. Vegetables were something I ate because I have to. Now, I don't have to, but I do it. You know why? They're good for me, and I want to be healthy. Why, are you afraid to die? No, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm likely to live a while, and I'd like to be healthy. I want to be able to do what God has called me to do, and that means that even what I eat it, how often I eat it, and how much of it I eat needs to be submitted to Him. I need to do what God wants. Why? Because I love Him, and I want to please Him. I want to serve Him, and that means my body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. Our bodies are His temple. He lives in us. And so what I do is not just my own business. What I do with my body is a matter of stewardship of what God has entrusted to me. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 10, Jesus talks about faithfulness. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Okay, I don't understand. What does that have to do with anything? Here's what it has to do with. Some of you may hope someday to have wealth and to have responsibility over big things, to be in charge of stuff. But right now, you're not taking good care of your room at home. You're not taking good care of your bike. Well, it's just a bike. I saw a kid deliberately throwing his bike against the wall in the park when I was a kid. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to mess up my bike. I said, why? He said, because I want a new one. I said, that's really sick. But you see, he knew that if he took care of his bike, he might have to keep it a while. But if he messed it up and could go home and make it look like he'd had some kind of bike wreck or mishap or whatever, then maybe his parents would get him a new one. Let me tell you who sees that, even when nobody else does. God does. God does. And God says we should take good care of what's entrusted to us, because if you don't take good care of what's entrusted to you, you will not be qualified for bigger things and better things and things that are your own. I've seen people doing something that is a good thing to do, but they didn't do it the way it should be done. And I wanted to say to them, what do you think you're doing? I'll give you an example of a fun activity I'm sure you all enjoy. Mopping the floor. How many of you have ever gotten to mop the floor? Let me see your hand. Oh, I'm so proud of your parents. All right, here's the thing. If you are mopping the floor, and as you're mopping the floor, whatever way you do it, the mop gets dirty, because the floor was dirty, and you just keep on mopping the floor with that dirty mop, are you doing the right thing? You're not doing it the right way. You're not doing it the right way because all you're doing is not cleaning the floor. The purpose of mopping is to clean the floor. And if all you're doing is moving the dirt around, you're not accomplishing the purpose. What do you think you're doing? I'm mopping the floor. Look at the floor. Look at the mop. It's filthy. Oh, okay. So you dip it into the water and you get it clean and then you start again. But after a while, because this floor was so dirty, the water in the bucket is now dirty. And you're dipping a dirty mop into dirty water and then putting it back on the floor and thinking you're cleaning the floor. You're not cleaning the floor. Well, what do I need to do? You need to empty the bucket and put in clean water. My life is so hard. Your life is so easy. You have no idea. People say, don't worry, kids. It'll get better. It'll get harder. You're depressing me, Pastor Wood. Don't be depressed. If you do it right, you'll get stronger. If you do it right, you'll get better at it. If you do it right, you can end up in charge of it. Saying to people, what do you think you're doing? Jesus said, if you're faithful in the small stuff, then you'll be faithful in the big stuff. If you're unfaithful in the small stuff, you'll be unfaithful in the big stuff. Do you keep your commitments? Do you do what you said you'll do? I'll give you one more example from my janitorial days. Vacuuming. I've seen people take a vacuum, go across a floor, usually carpet, and after they have been over that section, the stuff that they were trying to vacuum is still on the floor. And they just move on because they've been over it. And I say, hold, wait a minute. What's the deal here? Go over that again. And so they go over it again, and it still stays on the carpet. And so I reach down, and I move the thing, and it's totally movable. And I say, check your vacuum bag. What? Check your vacuum bag. Oh, okay. Oh, my word. It's full. In fact, there's stuff going up into the hose from the vacuum bag. This vacuum bag has been full for some time. As a result, it's no longer a vacuum. It is a noisy thing that just is being pushed around by you, and it's not sucking anything off the floor. You haven't vacuumed the carpet. You have walked all over the carpet pushing a wand. Please understand, that doesn't make the carpet clean. Oh, okay. So they empty the vacuum bag. They put the vacuum bag or a new vacuum bag in. And they turn it on and they start to vacuum. And all that stuff gets vacuumed up. Lo and behold, a vacuum. Now, why do I tell you that? Because I haven't always been in the position that I'm in now. I was the best janitor that the college library ever had. That's what they said. I was also the first janitor the college library ever had. I'll tell you something. No job is beneath you if you do it for the glory of God. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Nobody wanted that job. But Jesus did, because he knew he was about to clean up our entire mess on the cross. And he wanted us to know how we're supposed to serve one another. Do you do what you do for the glory of God? Or do you do what you do for your own pleasure? To make yourself look good. Who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? What do you think you're doing? Of all the things that have happened to me in my life, one of the most powerful, important stories that I've shared numerous times in various settings is the story of what happened with the oldest of the three children that my wife and I adopted from Ukraine. They were in an orphanage over there. We'd never met them, but we heard about their situation, and God spoke to us that we were supposed to adopt them. And so we began the process of adoption. And the oldest of those three children, when he learned that he was going to be adopted, he was going to have a new family. He was going to have a new name. He was going to a new country, and things were going to be a lot better for him. He began giving away his favorite stuff to his friends. He didn't have a lot, but he began giving it away. You know why? He knew he was going to a better place. If you and I know that we are the children of God, and that we are on our way to heaven, then we will be a generous people. People who serve others instead of trying to get everything for ourselves. People who are eager for other people to know Jesus. My prayer for each of you is that you will know him, that you will trust him, that you will live for him, because that's the only real life there is.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.